gave us a heads up. That was
some
really
of us
sneaky.
Some of us seek to be a better Christian than we were yesterday. You wouldn't understand that, however.
Tell me where you've been. See, I'm in pain. These migraines and my friends are getting in. Don't wanna hear.
Welcome to episode 114 of Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. I am one of your co-hostesses, Miss Smart. Joining me, I have Lady Buddha and Sojourner Verdad.
It's the time of the month.
The time of the month.
Don't even mess with me.
Say hello to the party people.
Hello to the party.
Hello, party people.
Well, I will make this announcement up front. We are pressed for time, so anybody
somebody's
got any
messing
quick
with their mic, and it's not me today.
Anybody?
It's not me.
That's probably me. Anybody got any quick words about what they're drinking or how their week has gone?
Nope. I'm achy. I'm sick, and I'm drinking water. That's it.
Okay, Lady Buddha.
I'm drinking water and sangria.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Well, I am also drinking water. Ladies, do we have any listener feedback?
Actually, we do. From Podomatic. Hold on.
Okay. And while she is doing that, if you've heard like the last couple of episodes or starting of our tweets, we do have an updated website. I also added a page today with just some stuff that we love. I only really have a few things there, but as we do shows, I'll mention the various products, but the first one I'll mention, it's on there. It is this electric tub scrubber thing. When I tell you it is life-changing, you need to go on over to our site and click on that link and go ahead and buy you one, because, listen, you can just stand there and hold it, and it just scrubs all your, it's great. Anyway, did you find the feedback?
I did, and this is actually, I think people don't know that they can leave comments on Podomatic, but you can.
Okay.
And so we got a comment from Taters for Art, and it says, "Wonderful conversation, ladies. Completely agree with gun control issue being an easy fix and only the tip of the iceberg with the issues behind it. Collectively, never addressing the root problem seems to be our forte, giving a quick pill for treatment rather than therapy. If guns weren't invented, we'd have a sword problem instead."
That's right.
And also, kudos on the kudos to Amber Rose. It's kind of frightening. And then they quote it, "It's kind of frightening to people when you take the power away from the taboo of sexual expression." Well said. Mm-hmm. "I love everything about your Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine title. You have a new subscriber. Looking forward to listening to more."
Aww.
So thank you, Taters for Art, and shout out for giving the comment on Podomatic.
Woohoo! That's awesome.
Yeah. Welcome, and don't forget to share with other people that you know. Spread the word. If you got me, well, obviously
you started
listening.
I know,
girl. Listen, I've done a lot. Many of it involved my pursuit of white chocolate Kit Kats, but whatever.
Lord.
People, if you haven't yet, get you some. Anyway, so we got there are a couple things. Something that's close to my heart. Well, somebody's typing. Ooh,
that's so Joe.
It's me. I'm not typing.
Well, it's not me.
No, it ain't me.
Well, somebody's here clickety clacking. Anyway, so
I am under the covers, so
Jeffrey,
I don't know what y'all talk
you,
about.
Jeffrey?
Ooh, blast from the past.
don't conjure that up. Anyway, so a lot of times we talk about work-related things on the show. So I do want to give those of you who work for companies that have federal contracts or federal subcontracts a heads up. The U.S. Labor Department officially promoted pay transparency among federal contractors and contractors. And for those of you who don't know, basically a lot of you guys think that it is illegal to discuss your salary with your coworkers. It is technically not, but specifically for federal contractors and subcontractors, it means that there can be no retribution if somebody finds out that you've disclosed how much you make. It also applies to job applicants, and we'll put the link somewhere in the show notes. But what struck me about when I read this was that it talked a lot about women and equalizing pay for women. And then when I went to the Department of Labor website, there was a slight blurb about the possibility that this would improve pay for minorities. You know, if we know that the person who's sitting beside us doing the same job with the same experience is getting paid 4 to 10 more thousand dollars from us, more than us, excuse me, I think we're better prepared to like fight for what we deserve. Mm-hmm. And I also found it interesting that in previous instances, things were always framed as, you know, we're going to equalize things for minorities while women ended up getting, you know, a lot of the benefit. It's interesting to see that this was framed the opposite way.
Mm-hmm. I guess in my field, we don't have that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, ours is pretty cut and dry and online for everybody to see.
Right, exactly. So. Yeah, and this doesn't this rule doesn't necessarily apply to even regular people in corporate America. It at this point is just for a rule that came out of the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs. And if you don't know whether your job is a federal contractor or subcontractor, you really can just casually ask your people in HR, because I assure you they know and just haven't been telling you. Mm-hmm. And that obviously opens up a whole can of worms about a different set of, or an extra set of rights that you guys have, but most people don't know that they have these rights, so they kowtow at work, like, you know, they can't.
And it's good, because now you can bring that to the negotiating table.
Exactly. You can bring that to the negotiating table. And to something you said, Sojo, quietly, a lot of rates for federal contractors and subcontractors are published. You just have to know where to look. So, for instance, if you are, let's say, a Java developer, there's a page, you got to know where to look, but it'll say that the government pays, let's say, $173 for a junior Java developer, yada, yada, yada. Now, that doesn't mean that you're getting paid $170-something dollars, but that does mean that the contracting company that you're working through, they're getting paid $170-something dollars an hour for you, and your dumb ass is sitting there only taking $78 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So that stuff is already out there. It's just now that you can actually talk to the guy beside you about that. Let's see. Speaking of work.
What's happening?
Sorry.
You're doing too much.
That would have been, no, that was me that time. Don't try to put the mic and the typing on me, because I'm wrapped up like a burrito.
Shout out to Chris.
Mm-hmm. But that was me that time.
Also,
that was my alarm telling me to wake up.
Are you serious?
Yes.
The other thing with regard to employers that I think is very important to our audience, if you're looking for ways to lower your student loans, the Bunny Ranch brothel has a student loan matching program. So if you want to take your ass out there and be a legal, you know, prostitute, the owner of the Bunny Ranch is willing to, you know, match whatever you pay monthly in your student loans.
Didn't they say the girl, like, was able to pay off her debt in what, like,
two months
or something like that?
Yep. In 2 months. So, you know, people are out here having sex for free anyway. May as well get Sally Mae and Navient off your back, or wherever, lay on your back to get Navient off your back.
Well, I thought you know, first of all, it's in, what is it, in Las Vegas?
Mm-hmm, in Nevada.
So, you know, so it's all, you know, legal or whatever, but what he was matching the payments that they made towards the loan, so.
Yes, which is crazy.
And I think they have, what did I see? That it was an HBO special? Because we all know I watch all kind of shit. So I really do believe that I watched the Moonlight Bunny Ranch special on HBO.
I know I did.
I just can't remember what it was about. But yeah, but that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, meanwhile, employers are, you know, bragging that they match like 7% on, you know, 401k. And, you know, if you do a day of community service, they'll pay you for an extra day. This MF is paying. Like, dude, are you serious?
Right. Meanwhile, Hef got his girls locked up.
I was just about to say.
He got his up and what they could only, like, their payout was, like, nails and, you know, like, surgeries.
I'm sorry,
and,
wait, what? Really?
Yeah. Like, you Kendra Wilkerson, whatever her name is. But anyway, she did an interview talking about her life at the Playboy Mansion, and basically she was saying how you think it's like this whole dream world, but really, like, the payment that you're getting is like nails and surgery and, you know, whatever. It's not things that you can actually walk away with after you have your time at the ranch.
You can walk away with
your speaking of Playboy, you know they are changing their format now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No more straight nudity.
Yeah. We're covering up. We're gonna give you those high quality articles that you always get. And we're just gonna drape you across a car like a Maxim.
Which is but when you think about like what Hef really wanted when he started, he wanted that whole like, you know, men's club smoking cigars with the, you know, girls or whatever. But then you had smoker's like, the smoker's jacket. You had the music coming to the, you know, the musical artists coming to the mansion and blah, 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 blah. And then
Cosby raping women at the mansion.
Oh, yeah, Cosby raping women at the mansion because, but then the other magazines that were more hard. Core basically put like full frontal, you know, all this stuff really out. And so now with so much porn being readily accessible, I mean, you don't Twitter long enough, you can see porn on any given day. So, I mean, I guess he's like, well, let's go back to basics. So no more snatch.
I didn't read the article, but I'm wondering though, if they were suffering, because to your point, you know, advertisers probably aren't making all that much money if they're putting ads in Playboy when, again, anybody can sit on their keyboard and find porn. I mean, it's everywhere on the internet for
free. Well, the porn industry itself takes a hit because there's so much free stuff that you used to have subscriptions or try to sneak and, you know, get publications and to get DVDs sent to your house and all that shit. Now you just got to, like, log on. I mean.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, that's the world we live in. I mean, you know, once the microwave came, I mean, it was all held, all downhill
once the
from there.
Microwave came, everybody started having sex publicly.
Listen, so as an aside, so I was talking to someone this weekend about her dating life or whatever, and she was saying how this guy, he had done some crazy stuff, and he had sent her, like, this really, really long text and was, like, calling her all day several times a day, and I realized that the cell phone contracts with unlimited minutes and unlimited texts have ruined the efforts people have to make to do crazy, because I assure you, if he had to pay per text.
If his data plan ran out.
Girl.
Got that text message from AT&T. We're going to have to add more data.
Yes,
like 55% of your data, and you still got 3 weeks left.
Right.
You have to start the old-fashioned way.
My stalking for October and pick it up again in November.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, you have to like do it the old-fashioned way, like get in your car,
hide in bushes.
Right. Go outside.
Get in those days, like.
Yeah.
What happened at the internet?
Right. Now you gotta do is stalk their social media.
Yeah.
That's right.
And tag
them. Anonymous messages and tag them and, so you can be
and put
full
thumbs down
overnight
on their YouTube videos, marking them all thumbs down. Because that's how the streets now stop.
Oh, you're getting close to home. You're getting close.
These are alleged things. That's
they ain't alleged. We saw it.
Look, we all about to say, we all saw it right there. So.
But but you know what? It's not just stalking; it's building evidence for prosecution.
Well,
how did we get here? Where was the wrong turn?
We were talking about Playboy. Snatch being visible in Playboy, and then we ended up with stalking. But actually, we did get like a lot of people asking us questions about last week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Kanisa actually tweeted, I don't know the exact phrasing of her question, but she asked something like, what would be the equivalent for women, the beta male equivalent for women?
Well, first frame it. Tell people if they're just now, you know, tuning in, like what we talked about last week.
Now, see, that would be great if I could actually remember the particulars. But it is episode 113. So you guys can pause this and go right on back. Sojo, unless you remember exactly.
I just remember the rise of the beta male. We talked about, you know, those guys, those seemingly nice guys who have a whole bunch of pent-up anger on the inside that end up eventually snapping. And doing crazy shit that, you know, you would not necessarily expect from that kind of guy. It's all, you know, that guy that you think is nice until he ends up boiling your bunny.
Well, did we talk about that article that you sent in WhatsApp about that woman whose husband she discovered?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember what that
was. Talk about it.
No, we didn't. Hold on. Y'all talk about why I try to bring it up again.
Well, the summary was basically that this woman who, you know, loved her husband and thought he was a nice guy in all the positive ways that you can think about what nice guy means. And then she just happened to be logged on to the same browser he had used when he went off to work or whatever, and saw that he was a serious troll down to telling teenagers to kill themselves and calling women all kinds of cunts and sluts and, you know, just doing all kinds of really ugly things anonymously and then, you know, acting normal, quote unquote, in the rest of his life, just being this troll. But I was telling you, I was really proud of her because she had a really mature approach to confronting him and thinking about, you know, whether or not he was going to be a good father and mate based on his behavior. Did you find it?
I did find it. And she was actually pregnant when she discovered that he was a troll. So basically what happened is that he left his browser open when he went to work and she hopped on after. And she found he was leaving these mean comments. It was racist slurs. It was awful insults, tearing into fat people, ugly people. He would go around to different sites just to discourage them. He would, let's see, so then after she saw that, oh, he was also on Tumblr telling the girls to kill themselves. So then she looked at his browser history and found he was harassing teenagers, calling cute girls ugly, fat, stupid, and then she said it horrified her to think that this was the man who could be raising our daughter in a few months. She said that she asked him flat out if he was harassing and bullying people online. He said yes, and then he didn't know why. And then he said that it was finally he answered her and said it was an outlet to relieve stress. He didn't view the people as real, and what he was doing was just a joke, and those people have bigger problems, and it wasn't his fault. Hold on. It also said she told him they needed to go to counseling. He chose leaving the wife over curtailing his online harassment. He said he wouldn't be going to counseling because there's nothing wrong with what he's doing and he deserved to have his me time and release his emotions.
That sounds like justification for excessive porn, though. I mean, or some type of addiction.
But, yo, check this out. She said that my husband was a nice, gentle man who was supportive and kind. In our 9-year relationship, we fought like 3 times total. Mm-hmm. I never thought that this was a behavior he would take part in. I'm not afraid of him, but I am disgusted with his behavior. So, again, like, they only fought like 3 times, yet he had all this stuff, you know, going on the inside of him.
I mean, deep down, he just had those, or not that deep down, medium down, he had these violent tendencies.
But how would he have, quote unquote, let off his steam without the internet, though? That's what's scary to me.
Man, go take up boxing. And then you're trolling teenagers. Like, what kind of grown-ass person decides to go on teenage sites just to tell girls they're ugly and stupid? Like, I mean, you have all that rage. You got other shit that you could be doing. And you can be sitting on somebody's couch getting some therapy because that really is a problem.
That's the type of person. I mean, that goes back to what we said, that beta guy who thinks he deserves X, Y, and Z, and he's still bitter about the cheerleader, or not even the cheerleader, just the girl in chemistry.
No, I was just thinking about that. Maybe he did flashback to those teenage girls online, and then he's going back to his high school days where he, you know, was unwanted and, you know, whatever. So he's trying to make them pay, like he wished that he would have made, you know, the homecoming queen. I don't know.
Or he's just mean.
He's an asshole.
Like, he might have been mean when he was young and did things, you know, in secret or not in secret. You know, I don't think it, I mean, we talked about whether it's always a trigger or not a trigger, and it may be, but it may not be. It's just some people are nice people and some people just aren't, and they just decide that it's not going to benefit them, as you know, Smart would say, you know, to show this side of them to everyone. So they build the life that they want, but they still have the same desires or urges or feelings, and so they just, you know, have a different outlet somewhere else, unfortunately.
Again, also scary, because how many times have we seen on Investigation Discovery somebody is married to somebody, and that somebody going out for a quote-unquote run every night, but breaking into people's houses, raping women, stealing underwear.
Right, leaving a body in the freezer in the garage.
You know, but they're every day making pancakes for the kids.
No, mm-hmm. They have a movie like that on Netflix with is it Robert De Niro?
And of course you knew immediately a movie to reference.
I'm just saying, it was a really good movie. It was actually based on a true story where the dude was a serial killer and she didn't know till she found like some stuff in the garage. But, you know, like, again, in their normal life and with his normal family, nobody would have suspected that he had all that pent up.
So then, what is, I guess she didn't give any follow-up as to what's, I mean, he's left, but I mean, is he gonna feel, you know, like, think about it? Because actually, you know what, I know what'll happen. Probably he will tell people he left her over the internet. He won't say, or she put him out, quote-unquote, over, put him out, quote-unquote, over the internet. He won't say what it was that he was doing.
He don't right. think he did anything wrong. What he's will probably say is exactly what he told her, that he deserved his me time.
Yeah.
If she wasn't respectful of his me time.
Right.
So, you know, asshole.
That's sad, though, if you are a woman who, especially if he's really, and I don't know, you know, I wasn't there with them, so I don't know whether he had red flags that she didn't see or chose to ignore.
Passive aggressive in other ways with her. Yeah. Like, they only fought 3 times, but he, like, unplugged her hot curlers or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't know if any of that's true or whether he really did hide it from her very well all this time and she just chose someone who was, you know, not a happy, healthy, whole individual.
Yeah, and depending on how old she was and what her dating experience had been, a lot of times people don't know the little signs, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the passive-aggressive unplugging the curlers, you know, when she's on her way out to hang out with her girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are other ways to fight with someone as opposed to, you know, actually having a conversation. Like, you know, just even because what I'm thinking about with this article, even his response to her spilling out her guts to him with how could we raise a daughter and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I just need my me time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that stuff that starts to make me think, you know, when they talk about the kids with the black eyes who don't feel remorse and all of that, those are the people I'm scared of.
Shark eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, there's a name for it? Shark eyes?
Yeah. Shark eyes. Mm-hmm.
I've got to add that to my my store of descriptions. But, like, I don't know. All he's going to do is go back out in these streets and say how much of a nice guy he is.
Mm-hmm.
Which takes us back to the whole, you know, beta man thing, to Kinesa's question. Is there an equivalent with women?
I think it's the same, although I don't know if we would call that particular guy a beta man. But in general, I think that this was some of the things we talked about, too, is that I think it's the same as a woman. I think it's just alpha or beta, but not alpha male exclusive to alpha female. I think that they are the same. They have the same traits or not the same traits.
Yeah, because I think, and I don't want people to misconstrue what we're saying about beta men, because all beta men are not bad. You have to have beta men because you have, you know, if you have an alpha male, everybody can't be the alpha.
Right.
So, you know, you have this group of beta males that, you know, keep the community going while the alpha is in charge, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And then on the flip side of that with women, you know, we talk about characteristics. You're talking about somebody who is good in the leadership role. Mm-hmm. In a healthy alpha beta relationship, you have the leader who has, you know, like, you know, whatever in the community, basically rolling and doing whatever appropriately.
Healthy.
Exactly. Healthy, mm-hmm. balanced, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But then when you're talking about the flip side of the crazy beta male, when you're talking about, you know, in a woman's thing, it could be a woman who is, well, unbalanced. I mean, you know, it could be where she's, I don't know, overly aggressive or even overly restrictive, like very needy. You know what I'm saying? So it's two flip sides of that story. The one who always wants to take control of everything, but then the one who's like, I can't do anything if you're not here. You have to sit beside me. I mean,
isn't that also very controlling, that quote unquote needy role?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Needy, two sides.
Yeah.
Of the same thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like manifesting itself in two different ways, but still the same thing, still that unhealthy, unbalanced, you know, whatever.
Maybe we need to coin a new term and call them like gamma men and women. Because to the point, you know, you can
something radioactive,
huh? Right.
Well, I think it's radioactive because I mean, the thing is, you know, like you said, it's not that beta is bad. I mean, it may be a personality type that we don't like, but it's not really the rise of the beta man or beta male. It's the rise of violent people or mm-hmm. people who have, you know, anger issues or people who, you know, have these other challenges. There was an interesting article in Slate that talked about, you know, it was kind of pushing back a little bit on this idea that all the mass shooters, you know, are a product of mental illness and that their violence is a product of mental illness. They basically said violence is not a product of mental illness, nor is violence generally the action of ordinary, stable individuals who suddenly break and commit crimes of passion. Violent crimes are committed by violent people, those people who do not have the skills to manage their anger. Most homicides are committed by people with a history of violence. Murderers are rarely ordinary law-abiding citizens, and they are also rarely mentally ill. Violence is a product of compromised anger management skills. And it's like when we talk about these men who, or whoever, you know, rising up and doing these mass murders, I really don't want to give beta men, you know, a bad name as though we think that they're laying in wait to,
right.
to bring people harm.
Right.
These are people who are unbalanced, unhealthy, whether the lack mm-hmm. of balance is because they are angry or whatever it is, but it's not that they're just a different personality type.
And the other thing, last week we talked about them linking up online or how, you know, all these websites are now popping up on how to teach beta men how to be alpha men and blah, 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 blah. Those types of sites and those things are actually run by unhealthy beta men who are acting the way that they think alphas should act, and they create those groups of unhealthy clusters, mm-hmm. you know, of people. Like, you know, we got into the conversation about Joe Budden this morning, and like you can see on Twitter, like, you know, he's a Twitter granddad. He seems like, you know, he's the alpha male because he seems like he has this leadership role, but dude is just really just a beta gone wild, you know, who basically talks, you know, a good game and has these Twitter dudes thinking he's an alpha, so they're following behind him, mm-hmm. you know, creating this unhealthy, you know, whatever. So anyway.
Yeah, and the other thing I would say too, just, and I remember saying this about Joe Budden, is that, you know, he may, and men like him may seem to be, you know, be able to have all the hoes and lead all the fellas, but if we dig down, not even dig down, we scratch the surface and look at the type of women he's getting, he can't right. run his game on someone who is even his mental
equal.
Mm-hmm. Equal. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. He deliberately preys upon women that he feels are weaker than him, which is something that a true alpha man would not do. He would want to couple with someone that he felt balanced him out, mm-hmm. not someone that he felt like he could play mm-hmm. games with mm-hmm. and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a oh my God, I lost my thought. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You're getting old over there.
No, I just got distracted. Y'all know how I'm like a zombie. You know, something flashed before me and I turn my head and then it's all
right. Over. I was just about to say a sequin. Like.
Right, exactly. I saw a sequin and something sparkled in my closet and now what? Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, so let's see. What else? Because I felt like there was a whole list of, I keep saying,
you are saying
I know, yeah, because I'm looking at something else.
Sojo? Shiny objects, see?
I know. Sojo, would you like to tell us about your friend Clifford?
Really? Oh.
I knew that one was coming up. Wow.
First of all.
What's his last name, by the way?
George? Harris.
Harris, okay.
And I would like to say that I feel like what he said today was probably because of Buddha's mama kicking him out of the media center.
Probably.
When he was in high school and he felt like she was emotional when she kicked him out. So now he is, he is clapping back. Let's see. Hold on for a second. Let me pull up what he did or what he said or whatever. Give me just a second. Talk amongst yourselves.
Well, while you're taking that time, I would just like to publicly say I kind of miss Herman Cain there.
I love Herman Cain. I used to listen, as many problems as Herman had, I used to love listening to him on talk radio because he used to have all those conservative white dudes deferring to him and not wanting to, like, ruffle any feathers. And, I mean, you know, he just had a special skill set to just, you know, Herm. He's that dude at the cookout that says some inflammatory shit, and you just keep him moving. I can't find what.
Yeah, he did. He was far more entertaining than this. What's this Carson guy?
As
I said earlier, I'll take this time to point out that Candy Carson, while she may not to some be the most stylish woman, she is accomplished in her own right. Just please Google. You would know that she too has degrees and she too is somewhat, you know, obviously smart enough. You know, don't just boil her down to, you know, her regular outfit. Like, people are mad because she looks like a regular American woman.
Right. And that's the thing I hate is that they keep talking about the way that she looks, and that always happens to women. Like, if it was Hillary and Bill wasn't that cute, nobody would be always talking about what Bill wore when he, you know, stood next to her or whatever. But with Ben Carson, the first thing they do is automatically go in on her look. So, you know, whatever. I found what T.I. says. So, on Hillary Clinton, I can't vote for the leader of the free world to be a woman. Not to be sexist, but I can't vote for the leader of the free world to be a woman. Just because every other position exists, I think a woman could do well. But the president, it's kind of like, I just know that women make rash decisions emotionally. They make very permanent, cemented decisions. And then later, it's kind of like it didn't happen or they didn't mean for it to happen. And I sure would hate to just set off a nuke. Other leaders will not be able to negotiate the right kinds of foreign policy. The world ain't ready yet. I think you might be able to get the Loch Ness Monster elected before you could get a woman. That is what Clifford said, and I blame Lady Buddha's mom for kicking him out of the media center.
As you were reading
at Fair Douglas High School.
as you were reading that, I thought to myself, let's remove woman or female and add and change it to black.
Black, exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, those blacks are aggressive, so I can't see them. You know, they'll get mad and all of a sudden they want to shoot up everybody. Like, come on, dude. He did apologize.
I mean, yeah.
He said, my comments about women running for president were unequivocally insensitive and wrong. I sincerely apologize to everyone I offended.
Well, at least he didn't say, I apologize if you were offended.
Right. if you took that shit wrong, my bad. Yeah.
It's always strange when people, you know, try to default to the idea of because a woman that equals rash.
You know,
a lot of times, women in particular, you know, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned is not because she did some rash shit. It's because she sat over there and thought about it.
It was well thought out and planned. It was strategic.
Well, while it may be unpopular,
it's really not.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we talked about PMDD and PMS on Where's My 40 Acres, so I'm not going to pretend that women are always balanced and rational, but it's just the blanket assumptions that are imposed on us by men who don't even know, like, women don't pee out of the same hole they bleed out of. That's the part that, you know, kind of pisses me off.
How do we know he does? You know what? Never mind.
We know. Yeah. And then also, even when you look up statistics like crimes of passion, those aren't things that are happening, you know, the majority of the time, according to data and research.
Yeah,
with women, those are male-dominated things. That type of violent, irrational behavior. So
science is not on his side. That's what I'm saying. It's like it's such a strange thing to say. And really, you know, that whole idea of, well, first of all, you know, a woman can never get elected. I guess he's talking about in our sexist country,
right?
Because in several other countries across the world, there have been women, and there are currently women serving. I think there's 18 currently women who are presidents.
If he used the Googles, he would know.
Well, it's already happening. Go ahead. Just like you guys, you know, pointed out that he doesn't know women, you know, urinate out of a different hole. I just figured he was only talking about America. That's why I said, you know, women haven't had the chance to. We haven't had the bomb to put, you know, the we haven't been in charge of the bomb to be able to push the button. I don't think he was talking about anywhere else but these United States.
Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's still really not about, you know, this focus on whether you're overly emotional. I mean, because the truth is, I wish that more of our leaders were emotional, like they had emotions and tuned into them and felt more empathy toward others. Because in that case, you know, they would make more conscious policy decisions, right? It's really about emotional intelligence. Are you aware of your emotional state? Are you aware of others' emotional state? Can you reflect on and act appropriately? Do you understand, you know, what's going on with people? Can you manage the emotions that you have?
I think
people out there resorting to this violence are the people who don't have control of their emotions, and we see more often than not, they are scientifically proven men, you know. So
when their egos are bruised and they're trying to measure their dicks and
they're making these rash decisions.
And going into countries looking for weapons that don't exist and shit like that. Somebody said something bad about your daddy. Like that's
millions of dollars.
We don't want our taxes to be audited, so
so anyway, all that to say, it's you know, if you either need to just stand up on your sexism and just own it and move on, or come with some real shit. Don't just, you know, try to blame people for things that aren't actually even true if you just read a little bit. So
I think the real question for me becomes, who asked him?
Well, he was having an interview, so I don't even know how they got on that subject. And for the record, people were saying that the interview in its entirety was even worse. So I don't even know the context behind that. But anytime you start with not to be sexist, but...
Right. It's already a side eye.
You're stepping off into fuckery right then.
That's it. Already.
I wonder what Tiny thought of his...
Especially since he's fighting heavyweight champions, because she posted something on Instagram, and that was a rash decision.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got all these weapons because you think, you know, somebody's coming after your family. You know, come on, dude. You're the king, no pun intended, of rash decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But a woman, you can't vote for a woman for president.
Well, see, the thing is, I think it's the Black Eyed Tips that talked about this, that when it comes to sentencing, this idea that we make rash emotion-based decisions actually helps us out when it comes to sentencing. Because people can't, well, most of the time, people can't fathom that a woman orchestrated getting a you know, a starting lineup of her high school students who are on the football team to kill her husband.
Right.
No, it's like they must have tricked her. And then she ends up getting 3 months, you know, or time served. And then the boys all get life.
Right.
Because she couldn't possibly have done that, you know, on her own. You know, she must have been emotion, must have been manipulation. Because at the end of the day, people want to see us as fragile and incapable of doing aggressive things.
And frankly, I am too sleepy and too tired to push any nuke bombs when I'm on my period. I just want to nap.
Well, that's you, though.
That's all I want to do. I was just about to say, however, there may be some women who are weepy. There may be some women who are angry. There may be, you know, whatever.
Everybody, so you go at me? You go at me or what?
I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, Lord. I mean, and regardless, everybody's hormones change.
Male and female.
Mm-hmm. Animals everywhere. The ocean, everything. I mean, there's nothing, the moon, there's just nothing that doesn't change from the day-to-day basis, you know, their internal state. So
give a dog the button on the wrong day. We all dying.
Yeah.
That paw gonna hit that shit quick.
Speaking of dogs, this is, again, off tangent, but I was exposed to a couple of YouTube videos yesterday. One of a dog climbing up a ladder and down a ladder, and I forgot what the other one was, but that shit freaked me out, and I was like, it's as if these people have never read Animal Farm. Like, you letting dogs, it's already enough that y'all have, dogs have trained y'all to pick up their shit. Now they climbing up and down ladders? What, they gonna develop opposable thumbs next?
I'm laughing, because Kadar really did have my mama trained, like, to do certain things. And if she didn't, he would, like, go and reprimand her.
Okay, y'all think it's cute now, but the rise of the canine.
It's not, they're not linking up on the internet that we know of. That we know of.
Right, because, I mean, it's Wim and Rich talk about how their dogs have Instagram profiles.
Right, I was just thinking dogs of Instagram. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't even, okay. Yeah, we got to places. Mm-hmm. Let's end on something more positive, or at least more thought-provoking. Lady Buddha.
Dogs of Instagram is inspiring. Yeah.
I don't know. It's scary, actually, at least for me, because, I mean, Soldier, I would think you'd be on board with this because you are such a conspiracy theorist.
I mean, hey.
Anyway, I was saying, let's just talk about something more thought-provoking, and I'd like to turn our attention to Lady Buddha, who asked a very poignant question: when is it too late to pursue your dreams?
Mm-hmm. There's an article that's in the Washington Post, and it's actually someone that I've been following on Twitter for several years, and this is Carolyn Edgar. It's about her, and the title
from Detroit. She's from Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing big things.
Yeah. And I was in Detroit recently. But anyway, the title of the profile is "When Should You Give Up on Who You Said You Wanted to Be?" And I just want to read part of it because I think it really kind of sets the stage. But it says, "As a single mom of two, New York lawyer Carolyn Edgar has been through a dozen years of back to school buzz. This year, it was time to add one more class schedule to the mix, her own. Along with her high school freshman son and college freshman daughter, Edgar, 50, who worked for IBM before attending Harvard and becoming a lawyer, just headed back to class in an MFA program at the City University of New York. She is pursuing her dream of becoming a novelist. Whether it happens is beside the point, she says. It's the mental work it took to get there, to start something new and creative in the middle of her high-powered corporate life. That's the story." And then they go on to say that she says, "At IBM, I was all focused on business. In law school, an essay about her experience as a black Harvard law student caught the attention of a professor who published it in a magazine. He found it. It was the first time she had ever found validation for her writing, the first time she told herself, oh, you could actually do this." And they talk a little bit about some more of her background. And, you know, she was always interested in writing, but she would take some classes and then she had to drop them. And then came a husband, then came kids, time kept passing. And then so finally she came to the realization that We have only a finite amount of time to be the people we always said we wanted to be. Sometimes we let that version of ourselves slip away. Then we say that we've just moved in a different direction. Sometimes we lie about what we want because we don't know whether we have what it takes to get it. So, you know, at any rate, she started back school just this semester, and she wasn't expecting to get accepted, and she was. And so she's still working her job, and she's going to school part-time, and she doesn't know how long it'll take her to finish the program or whether she'll ever be a novelist, but it is the permission to fall short, not the determination to triumph, that allows us to try. So for now, it's just enough that she started, and her kids see that. So anyway, I just wanted to see, what do y'all think about that? And when should you give up on who you said you wanted to be?
I don't think you should ever give up on that. And I like the quote about the finite time that you have to be, to read that again.
Well, let me see.
Or she said you only have a finite time to be the person that you want.
Yeah, we only have a finite amount of time to be the people we always said we wanted to be.
So why not? You know, why not now? You know what I'm saying? Like, regardless of when now is. So
yeah. I would add, too, that sometimes the person, you may become the person you said you wanted to be. And a great example, I've had this conversation at least three times in the last couple of weeks. People who wanted to be a lawyer or said they wanted to be a lawyer and or be lawyers and made it to that point only to realize that they were saying what was expected of them, what sounded good, and they pursued it because they're finishers. But what they really want to do is, I don't know, open a wine vineyard, go start teaching third grade or kindergarten. So I think that her story, and I probably will send it to them, we need more of that, giving people permission to kind of, make mistakes, whether it's a whole career of mistakes or putting down what you really want to do because, as she said, husband, children, and bills and all that stuff come, you just have to find a way, I guess. And for me, I always, the simple way to say that is, choose happy. Mm-hmm. Right. You're happy is, going back to school because being a novelist is something you had always wanted to be. Then, hey, that's your happy. You may, don't focus on, there's no time in the day. You're going to have to work, and then you got the kid, and blah, 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 blah. Your happy may be that busyness because you're pursuing your dream.
And I think, too, that's one of the things that I admire about millennials. I don't know why I have an echo. But that's one of the things that I think I admire about millennials is that they do have that mindset, and we have to reprogram ourselves. So some of us do get started a little bit later. Because we were programmed to be finishers in respectable fields and, all that stuff. And a lot of the younger generation, they are choosing things that are their passions and learning how to make money with their passions. So, I do think that us being older and reprogramming, y'all know what the hell I'm trying to say.
Nope, I don't know. What you talking about?
NyQuil just kicked in.
Oh, blaming on the NyQuil. Yeah, I do think it's important. One of the Tony Carey of Black Girls Run was our closing speaker at the Black Women's Life Wellness and Balance, Life Balance and Wellness Conference in Atlanta last month. And she shared a clip from an Oprah talk when she was interviewed for something. I can't remember. I think it was at Harvard. At any rate, it was like, what is the next right move? When you feel like you're on the wrong path or whatever it is that is not leading you in a direction or you're not where you want to be, what is the next right thing? And I just feel like, a lot of people are going around unhappy, living the life they don't really want to live. And so I think, part of that gets buried into the idea of the rise of the beta male. It's the rise of the unhappy person. Mm-hmm. And what you do, when you have years and decades of, lack of fulfillment, and you don't know a productive way to do anything about it. And, Carolyn, I think, gives a good example. I'm glad they have the article about her to say, well, she didn't quit her job, right? Because, she's still working, but she's just making time and space for something that's really important to her. Mm-hmm. And so even if that's all you can do, just a little bit, a little corner, you know, I think that's a good way to start to move in the direction, the next right move for you. So,
I think our next right move is to start to wrap this bad boy up. See what I did
there? Yep, that was perfect.
Ladies, do you have any cheers?
Was Carolyn your cheers, or you got?
Well, she is one of my cheers. So Carolyn Ecker, cheers to her for making that next right move for her life. Regardless of whatever happens after this, the fact that she even tried is awesome. And then also cheers to our soror, Sandy, and I won't say her last name in case she doesn't want anyone to know, but she is a listener, and she just kind of emailed me. We've been talking offline about interesting things, and I just wanted to acknowledge her, give her a shout-out for listening and, you know, engaging on topics that are important to her. So shout-out to them. I blogged for the first time today in several months because it's a new moon. So new moon, new start. So come visit me over at cocostudio.com and read some of my old stuff, and hopefully there'll be some more new stuff coming soon. And give me a shout on Twitter. I've been tweeting links of some of these articles we've been talking about. So check us out and check me out. And I'm at NDC, H-A-R-P, like the instrument, NDC Harp on Twitter. What about y'all? Stop laughing.
I have two cheers. My first cheers is to Mr. Terry at the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta. I went there this weekend, was not expecting to have as much fun as I did, and he actually played collegiate football in the 70s for UF, and then he went on to the NFL. And he made it such a memorable experience because he was so enthusiastic and so extensive in his knowledge and history, and I love to see people who seem to truly enjoy what they're doing and his excitement.
What was the name of the place you went to, Sojo?
College Football Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And if you're ever in the downtown Atlanta area, it's right next to Phillips Arena. But y'all really, I mean, it's such an amazing experience. You don't have to be a football fan or a college football fan to go and have a great time, because we did like the NFL game day videos. I mean, it was just great. So, but Mr. Terry was the one who really set off the experience. So I wanted to give my cheers to him. And then also there's a guy down in New Orleans at the French Market. His name is Frederico Salas, and he has a website called homemadediaries.com. And these are basically blank handmade diaries from natural fibers. And I bought one back in maybe 2005 from him, and I've been looking for him for like 10 years and finally rediscovered him, had a conversation with him, and he's an older guy who's basically doing what he loves, making these diaries and, you know, having his creative spirit, you know, translated into the pages and stuff like that. So check out his website, homemadediaries.com. You guys can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is SojoXOXO. That's SojoXOXO. I am also active on my blog, which is SojoXO.me. That's SojoXO.me.
Okay. Well, I don't have a cheers. So, yeah, and I don't write a blog. So,
don't you have archives?
You know, they're not published. I unpublish them.
I'm going to tell you what's still published is Discus comments.
What'd you say?
Discus comments. I found some when I was putting Discus on my blog. I found where I was commenting on your blogs back in the day.
Oh, yeah, back in the day.
I missed you. Yes, I missed you so much.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, So you guys, if you're listening to this, you can hit me up on Twitter. My Twitter name is @think_p_smart. You can find us collectively at whiskeywineandmoonshine.com, on Twitter at whiskeywinemoon, on Podomatic, on Stitcher, on iTunes, basically in these podcast streets. Please, please, please go ahead and give us a 5-star review. We will, read it on the show. You can also send us feedback if you have just general comments about any of the topics that we have discussed. And I think that covers it. Am I missing anything, ladies?
No, I think you're good.
Okay, well then this brings episode 114 of Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine to an end. Cheers.
Cheers.